How wonderful we have spent 2 months on the doctrines and fundamental things of the Bible. We talk about the Bible itself. We talk about God the Father. We talk about Jesus Christ. We talk about the Holy Spirit, the Lord's Supper. Last Sunday was a baptism. And I have another 20 things to bring to you, but I had to cut it here. And so I thought that we're going to conclude with something practical, something that you and I need, and that's prayer. And most of the time, and I know this when I take the young people with me to pray, some new people do not know how to pray, and that's fair. That's very fair, as you're going to see in the Bible. And so my sermon on prayer is going to be a little more practical than just prayer. Is going to be how to pray. How are we going to pray? By looking at an example in the Bible of Paul, who really prayed. But I want to give you some records for your mind before we go into the sermons about the fundamentals about prayer. And there is an outline in the bulletin for you to follow, but I give you the page number, and I talk to you from the same Bible that is on the pew. And first, a prayer is all as the world itself. If you go to the first book of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 4, and you look in verse 26, you learn that prayer is as all as the world itself. You know, the world started in Genesis 1, the first family in Genesis 2. And then in Genesis 4, the family expand. And if you look in Genesis chapter 4, page 5 in your Bible, verse 26, the very last verse, the Bible said, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Just so early as the world started, and few families expand into the Iraqi territory where the garden was, then you see that God brought a man who has a heart for prayer, and that was Enos. So prayer is not an invention of any particular church. It's the need of man to communicate with God. Now, prayer is also universal. There is not a person that cannot pray. Look with me in Psalm 65, verse 2, page 669. Psalm 65, and on verse 2 of this psalm, the Bible said, "O thou that hearest prayer," Psalm 65, verse 2, page 669, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Now, whether you are Korean, Latin American, Mexican, Italian, Chinese, Vietnamese, Israel, from Israel, wherever you are, the Bible says that, "Oh God, the hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." There is no distinction. There is no limitations in God's program for prayer. You can reach the throne of God if you do it in the right way. Doesn't matter who you are, God always hears. And that is absolutely a tool that you need to hold in your hand. There is no distinction from God. There is no discrimination from God. There is not, "I want to hear these people and I will not hear these other people." Now, there are requirements for prayer. You will see it in a minute. But God hears anyone, and prayer is universal. Now, when you say, "Lord, I really don't know how to pray," or perhaps you said, "Lord, I think I pray wrong," you don't have to worry. We always have a corrector for our prayers. You know, I thought when Mr. Kim, the British man who created the corrections on the grammar on the computer, he was very, very brilliant engineer. He did it by himself, for he needed, he said, and never knew there was a multi-million dollar program for his life. But If you have a computer and you have a program on writing in any language, you have a dictionary behind you what you type. And in some fancy computers, the dictionary corrects your writing automatically, so you don't have to go back over there. Or at the end of your writing, you click check, and all comes over there and fix for you. You have a beautiful write. There is a program that these engineers have created that even correct your grammar and put things in the right order and so on. And it's just beautiful. The other day I tried in Hebrew to see a boy. They changed the words and put it together. What a remarkable program. He did it for entertainment for himself. It became a multi-million dollar profit for his life. Well, we have something like that in prayer. Do you know that? Let me show it to you. It's in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, page 1 to 30. Romans, chapter 8, page 1, 2, 3, 0. Romans, chapter 8, and verse 26. We have a corrector. You pray, and you think, oh, I think I missed something. And you say, oh, I think that I don't know if that's right or wrong. You don't have to worry. You'll never be afraid to pray to God. Look at what the Bible says. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmities is the word weakness. It helps our weakness. For we know not what should we should pray for as we ought. In other words, sometimes we don't know how to pray correctly about an issue. But, thank God for that word, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, when you are a child of God, you have that automatic corrector into your brain and into your heart, and you pray with your heart, and God knows what it is and corrects it into the throne of grace, so when God the Father listens, it's perfect without mistakes. You know that when I look into that, I said, Lord, what a gracious God we have. You know, that takes away the fear of prayer. Now, maybe in public, when other people listen, you don't want to pray. But in private, you can pray knowing that the automatic corrector is going to change that prayer into the correct prayer for your life and bring it to the Father as we're going to see it in a minute. So this is general thoughts about prayer. Now, in order to understand prayer, in order to know how to pray, I think we are not alone. 2,000 years ago, people asked Jesus the same. If you look with me in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11, which is in page 1124, 1124, at the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, and you look with me in verse 1, the disciples, the people that were walking with Jesus, these people that were giants receiving from the master all the instruction, they asked him, they were in battle because they don't know how to pray. Look at verse 1, at Luke Gospel chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. So they maybe heard Jesus praying and was just, you know, Jesus, perfect prayer. The Son and the Father communicating. Maybe they heard Jesus praying and said, boy, we need to learn. And that's how the Lord's Prayer came in. Actually, to know the Lord's Prayer actually is the disciples' prayer. Jesus teach them how to pray. And people sometimes repeat that prayer. And that was not the intention. The intention was to give them the focus how to pray. So I'm going to take that lesson or that request. And I'm going to see how Paul learned to pray. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Our brother have use that scripture for the reading, and I like to use that scripture as the basis. Let's study Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, where Paul goes to prayer. And let's see how does Paul really pray, all right? Prayer should begin with thanksgiving. Look at verse 8. First, and you know first is first, all right? Everybody agree? First is first. Because some people and interpreting the Bible said first is not first, and then you go crazy. First is first. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. I thank my God. First, I thank my God. Before you pray about anything else, first, I thank my God. I thank my God. Now, he was constant in this. If you put your one hand in Romans and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, page 1296, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, page 1296. Paul, when he prayed for one individual, Timothy, he also used thanksgiving. He said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. I thank God, he said. All right? And if you go, you are in 2 Timothy, just move your pages two or three pages to Philemon. Just two or three pages to your right, to Philemon's, page 1302. And then he writes to Philemon, this man who need a help. And look at how he said it in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. In other words, Paul's customary practice on prayer was prayer should begin with thanksgiving. That takes away all your worries. Is that right? You need to find something to thank God. I purpose in my life, before I go to bed, I close my eyes and say, what am I going to thank God today for? Something, you know, we always go to bed sometimes worry. Oh, this and this and this. We are busy. And the busyness of our life, we have something that transfer to tomorrow and stay in our mind. Well, how good it is to go to bed and say, God, what I need to thank you for. And then close your eyes and then you remember and you say, God, I thank you for this. It's just a good practice. So prayer should begin with thanksgiving. You have a good exam in the school, young people, and then you say, God, thank you for opening my mind. Thank you for giving me a mind to remember the things. And thank you for my exam, Lord. Thank you, God. Never think in yourself. Just think, give thanks in God what he has done for you. Secondly, prayer, going back to Romans chapter 1, prayer should be presented through Jesus Christ. And now that's the big division now, even in the church history. Prayer, you need a high priest. You know, the Jewish people, they cannot pray to God. They have to go to the high priest. And the high priest once a year will bring their prayer. You don't have to come to me. No, you can share. Tell me, Pastor, pray for this. I will. But doesn't mean that I am the high priest. All right? I want you to know. Yes, I love to pray together with you for any issue you have. Yes, I love prayer. I'm a prayer man. All right? Even if it's one man here on prayer meeting, that's enough for me. I pray. I love to pray. My life need prayer. What do you think? You're flying from a different country with no language whatsoever. Of course, I have a profession, and I was involved in this, and I have to learn quick. I have to learn. So I study in the night, study in the morning. I said, God, I pray, Lord, I know this stuff, and Lord, teach me how. And I pray, you know. I went to seminary, and here those professors that come with the Hebrew and the Greek. So, Lord, and they were translated into English, not into Spanish. It will be so easy into Spanish, but not into English. Sometimes the professors even don't know what that word was. And I said, Lord, you have to teach me. I pray. I learned to pray. All right? Now, prayer is not as, Lord, I pray because I'm a good man, and I have done this hard work for my wife or my family. I pray in my name that you help me. No, it's not that way. You need a high priest. All right? Now, look at what Paul had. Verse 8, again. Look at what he says. First, thanks my God. Now, here's the correct translation in the King James. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. That word through means he went across. So here's Paul, here's God, and here's a wall. And here's that wall is Jesus, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, but I bring my prayer to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that makes the Mohammed people really mad. They are upset as can be because what about our prophet? That makes the Buddha people, the Japanese people, very mad. I had one in O'Henry one time years ago. He was very mad at me because I said, what's the difference between Buddha and Christ? I said, it's very simple. God only listened to Christ. Woo! He almost threw the coffee away and so on. And I'm glad that he paid for my donor already. But I tell you, why? Now, that's a good question. Why? Okay, let's find out. If you turn your Bible to John chapter 14, which is page 1169, John chapter 14, and in verse 6, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the only way to the Father. John Gospel chapter 14, verse 6, page 1169. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus is speaking. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now listen carefully. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. Jesus is the only one that have the key to go into the Father. He is the high priest that can go into the veil and talk to the Father. Then Jesus, on the top of that, if you go to your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, page 1292, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, page 1292, Jesus, the Bible says, is the only mediator, is the only high priest. For there is one God, said the scripture, and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, Anthropos, the personhood of Christ. The personhood of Christ. He is the high priest and he is the mediator. There is none. And some people take little cards, and they said, oh, I have this lady that I pray to her and she prayed to God. I said, better she pray to Jesus because you don't going to get it then. All the people say, oh, I have this saint. They call it saint. The little cards and they call it saint. I pray to these saints. Maybe the man was a saint. That's all right. You are a saint. I'm a saint according to Romans 1:7. And he prayed to this saint, and then he said, this saint prayed to God. And I said, how do you know God is listening? He said, well, he is a saint. Well, God only listened to Jesus. I have good to you. God listened to Jesus. And so he is the only mediator. He is the only one who you bring your request, the Holy Spirit correct it, and then Jesus take it to the Father. That is the only way. Now, that is why you teach your children when they eat, after they finish eating, they say, in the name of Jesus. In other words, a prayer requires the stamp of the Lord Jesus. Let me show you where the Bible says that. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, page 1276. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. That's in page 1276. That's how you pray and you close your prayer in the name of Jesus. It's not an option. If you want your prayer to reach the heavenly and you want your prayer to reach the Father, that's what it is. Let me read it for you. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't like what those people, I pray and change, and somebody pray and don't close the prayer, the other take it from there. I like the people close their prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, then the next person pray and so on, because Jesus is the only way that your prayer reaches the heavens. That's the way it is. Somebody told me, well, what if I don't have these books in the Bible? Well, if you don't have these books in the Bible, you have no Bible then. See, the Bible has 66 books. If you have one more or one less, that's no Bible at all. Remember what we study on the Bible? And so prayer should be presented in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And another thing, if you go back to Romans chapter 1 and in verse 9, page 1222, Romans 1 and in verse 9, prayer should be constant. we are commanded in that. First, thank my God, verse 8, through Jesus Christ, from whom you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now look at verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I mention you, without ceasing, prayer should be constant, without ceasing. Now, let me show you where the Bible says it again. It's in 1 Thessalonians, remember? In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, page 1289, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And look with me in verse 17, what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing, page 1289. Pray without ceasing. That is all over the Bible. Pray without ceasing. I ask people sometimes, have you prayed about this issue? They share with me something they are as a concern in their life. And I say, have you prayed? Oh, yes, I pray. You pray already or you are praying? He said, no, I pray. No, that's not the way. You keep on praying until an answer come in. You keep on praying until an answer come in. God's going to answer. Don't pray like, oh, well, defeated. Come on. A Christian is not defeated. A Christian stands and you pray and God will answer. In his time, but he will answer. We are not just left to the circumstances of life. No, sir. We have a God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have the mighty in heaven. And the right hand is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is on the earth. And we're just going to think? Come on. You don't know the doctrine then. So I give you the thing. You just pray and God will answer. But you pray consistently. You pray. And amazing enough, you're going to see how God answered. Because Paul got an answer, knowing the way he thought. You're going to see the end. It's spectacular. When I saw the end, I trembled about this prayer. All right? Now, we should pray consistently. We should be personal in our prayers. Look at in verse 9, at the end of verse 9. He said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you. Now, who were you? Were the Romans. That was a very different people than the people that Paul wanted to pray for. He loved the Jewish people. He loved his race. But now God, he understood, God sent him to a different race and said, I'm praying for you. You can pray for people. You can pray for everybody. He prayed for the Romans. Now, if you look in Ephesians, you go to your right in your Bible to page 1272, in Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 1, excuse me, and verse 16, he prayed for the people of Ephesus. They were Greek people, all right? He said in verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you. And they were Greek people. That is on Ephesians 1, 16. So you and your prayer should be really personal. You pray for your aunt and you pray for your mother and you pray for this group of people. And it's okay to pray. It is okay to mention even the names of those people that you pray for. So you become eager in prayer and you use those people that are your concern and you pray for them. That is okay. Now, prayer should be itemized. Look at verse 10. Let's go back to Romans in chapter 1 and in verse 10. You should be itemized. You know, when you go to the hospital, you have the right. I don't know if you know that. After you leave the hospital, you have the right to an itemized account of all the treatment. You will be surprised that an aspirin costs $100 and things like that. But it's they're all itemized over there. You know, they say, okay, now you can go home. So before I go home, I need to have a printout of my bill. All right, they have it up today. See, so they can print it right there, itemized. You know, that should be our prayer list. Look at how Paul prayed. Verse 10, he said, making requests, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He itemized his prayer. He said, I'm praying that God will make a way to visit you and Rome, okay? He asked for a prosperous, successful trip. I want to see you. That's a specific, all right? I want to make a trip. I want, Lord, prosper us that I'm going to make this trip to you, all right? Now, remember, those times we don't have helicopters, airplanes, cars, no telephones, and he is there in Israel, and this is in the New World, in the European territory, in the Italian peninsula. He wanted to go over there. He said, I pray for that. He asked also with great humility. Look at the end of verse 10. He said, by the will of God. That's great humility. It's not that you say, Lord, I want this. He said, Lord, I love to go and visit Rome according to your will. I'm glad that he said that because God showed him his will. You will see it in a minute. It's not what he expected, nor what you and I would love to have, but God answered him according to his will, and you will see it in a minute. And so here is prayer. Should be itemized. In other words, you pray for your specific need. You need a job. He said, Lord, why don't you be in detail for that job? I ask people, I pray for a job. No, don't pray. Just pray. What do you like to do in life? What are you good for? That's the best way. You work for work is not fun, but you work in something that is nice to you. It's no work, all right? It's enjoyable, see? I remember talking to Dr. McCormack, and he said to me many times, I said, what do you enjoy about your terrible work? He said, I'll tell you what it is. He said, you are sleeping well, you're hugging your wife, and the phone rings, and you have to leave. He said, and that upset you. No, he said, that's what I leave a few blocks from the hospital. I just walk to the hospital in pajamas sometimes. I put my pajamas, put a robe, went over there. Somebody have a need. He say it with a smile that goes through your heart. I wonder if new doctors know that. And he never was tired of doing that. Why? Because the man loved his profession. He loved to help people. He loved that deep in his heart. See, so when you pray, you say, Lord, I pray you open the door for this engineering work I need. Yeah, be aggressive with God. He's not, God is not saying, well, I don't know. No, God moves on. It is important. All right? You itemize your need. You are single and you need to be married. You want to. You don't have to. The Bible doesn't say you have to be married. The Bible says you can live. Paul said, I wish you all were like me. He was single. All right? But if you need to be married, you say, Lord, I want that girl. And whatever your description is, you pray. I want that boy. Full of money, this and whatever. All right. Whatever it is. All right? But you are specific. Now, be surprised. God answer. And you will see it at the end. Be surprised. What answer? All right, one more. Prayer should have the right motivation. That's so important. Prayer should have the right motivation. Look at in verse 11, going back to Romans chapter 1. In verse 10, he wants to know the will of God. Journey by the will of God to come unto you. He wants to know the will of God. So he prayed, Lord, I want you to prosper. I want you to give me that trip, if this is your will. That's humble, no? That humbles you. I have talked to young people sometimes. They say, but Pastor, I want that. I know. But is that the will of God? And sometimes you don't know. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes you don't know. But you pray. Lord, if this is your will. And look at what he wants to do with them. Verse 11. He wants to establish the believer. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. He don't have any selfish motive in visiting those people. He knows these people are in the remote area of the European territory, and Paul spoke Latin and Hebrew. He was the ideal person to go and review the Old Testament with them to establish them. You know, you want to be established? Read that Old Testament. Read it. Now, you don't understand it. Read it again. I'm too slow, so I read it 100 times. and get into a program that you read fast. You know, you read two books in 5 minutes, and then you read it again, and you read it again, and then you become really solid in the Word of God. When you have to make a decision, the Word of God comes into your brain, and you make that decision properly. You're a young fellow, and you're good looking, and you want to get married, and the Bible said you can marry anybody you want to, but have to be a believer. And then you remember, you see this nice blonde girl walking around, and they say, oh, I like it, but is she a believer or not? That's the last thing that comes to your mind when you're young. That is the last thing that comes to your mind. But if that's what it is. And young girls, you see this boy, he's an athlete, you know, and I know the girls yield to you, and you feel good about it. But is that girl a believer? That's what's going to count. That's what he did. He wanted, in other words, you read the Bible, he said, "I these people are so new in the gospel that I want to go over there and use the Old Testament and show them what Christ is and what we must do so that we can be established strong in the kingdom of God." The hard thing for me is to see a Christian who is weak. Boy, I feel bad about it. We, regardless of the time, with prosperity in America or no prosperity in America, we are just happy. We have God. We have God. Things go good or bad, work or no work, we have God in our life. Come on. And so how do you come to that peace of mind? Is by reading the scripture and the scripture established in your life. All right? You have a husband who's a rascal. How are you going to handle him? I have ladies in my office. How are you going to handle him? Well, you know the scripture. You handle him with love. You handle him with truth. And there are some people you cannot handle anymore. And God take it away. Don't worry about it. But that's what it is. And so you need to be established. You know? Imagine you call the police and say, "What happened?" "Oh, somebody is in my house. I don't know what happened." "Oh, I don't know what to do." Do you like a policeman like that? No, a police knows his law. He knows what he's going to do. Well, the other night, we left late. We got late home, and about 12 midnight, the bell ring in my house. And I said, "Well, I have a way I can spot what is there." See, turn this light, turn the other light. And the person, I don't have to really look. The person said, "I'm a policeman." I said, "Oh, maybe it's not." So I have a look on it. I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Show me." He said, "Show me the thing." "Well," I said, "well, they are for me. Maybe I have to sleep in someplace else." "All right." I opened the door. I said, "What's the problem?" "Oh, your alarm." "My alarm?" "Yeah." I said, "You came into the property and you forgot to shut off your alarm." "No, with my fingers, I cannot do it. I have a remote control, blah, blah." But you see, I'm not afraid. And the policeman, "All right." And I talked to them. The policeman knew what to do. He said, "Well, you know, he read me for me. Now if you have another call, you pay that." And the policeman knew. Policeman was established, a lady. You know, what a courage. At 12 at night, trying to help somebody else who perhaps have a need. But the policeman, I like it, because policeman knew what to do, what to say, what not to say, was good. Well, that's a Christian. And the only way you need to be established, you look for a church. You look for a church that teaches you the Word of God, because the Word of God will establish you in the faith. We don't play with doctrine here. We just want to put the Word of God into your heart so that you look on it and the Holy Spirit will lead you. All right? And look at verse 12. He wants to encourage them. Look at verse 12. "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." In other words, he was so humble, he said, "And now you tell me this story, what the Lord is doing for you, so that I be encouraged." You know, nice to be like that. When I meet people that I don't see for a long time, I tell them, "Tell me what the Lord has done for you." Always I ask that question. "Tell me what the Lord has done for you." And they looked at me. You know, nobody think what the Lord has done for you. You breathe today because the Lord, remember Daniel 6, is the Lord holds your breath in the palm of his hand. And you can say, "Oh, I'm breathing today. The Lord give me life." Now Paul pray very specifically. And now comes the surprise. Will God answer this prayer? they say, making requests. Look at verse 10. If by any means, I'm glad that he say that, now at length I might have a prosperous journey. By any means. Anyway, Lord, in a jet, jumbo jet, or when a carnival cruise, Lord, send me in the way you want to. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Here's the history. Here is how God, Acts 26, starting in verse 31, here is how God sent him. God sent him. God answered his prayer. He did not went in a carnival cruise. He did not went in a jumbo jet, first class, with meals back and forth. No, but he went. Look at verse 31. This is the closing chapters of the history of the church for 30 years. Verse 31 and page 1218. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of bonds or being under chains. And this is the jury. The jury is talking. Paul is in the jury, and they're talking. Then, say Agrippa was the king. Festus was the governor. Then, say Agrippa unto the governor, Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. In other words, he was a Roman citizen. And so he said, sir, I'm a Roman citizen, and I don't want any people here in Israel to judge me. I want the king, the Pharaoh. I want Caesar. And now they have to respect it. So surprise, surprise, Paul's go to Rome, verse 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion, Augustus band. And entering into a ship of Adramatitium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Yes, Paul, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to send you to evangelize Rome, but you're going to be in jail. You remember this story, the ship break. He ended up in Malta, the island, and from there another ship comes in and goes into Caesar. And you know that he appeared, and nobody knows what to do with him. You know what Caesar did? Caesar put a house for him. He was not in a jail. He was in a house. Luke came over there, and he wrote 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. He wrote Philippians from there. Yes, God put a desk, office, everything paid, Paul. You don't have to. You're in jail, but you're in an office with people who feed him. The Jewish people came to him, the Gentiles. I mean, he has a great ministry at the end of his life, and then they executed him at the end. But I tell you, he was used of God at least for 2 years in Rome, and God put everything on it, not in the way you want it, in the way that God wanted it. I started the sermon. I went up to my office this morning at 5:30, and I look on it, and I say, Gabriel, what do you want? Be careful. What do you want? Well, I want to see, before I die, the new building for us. It's in my heart. But I was very cautious to mention to God, because this is serious. God give you the desires of your heart, but knowing the way you want it. He give you. Paul is in Rome. He said, I want to go to Rome. Yes, Paul is in Rome. And God put the office. And Dr. Luke comes over there. Marcus sent greetings to them. I mean, he had 2 years, as never before, evangelizing first class in jail. So when we pray, we need to understand that God answers in mysterious ways. Today, you are here and you really look back in your life and you say, boy, the Lord really brought me up. back. Many times Raquel and I said, can you believe it that we are 11,000 miles away from the place we were born? Amazing how God does. And I never forgot the prayer of my grandmother. He looked to our five grandchildren, and she said, one of you will go to America to say thank you for the missionary that came to our home and brought the gospel. I was the tiny boy. Nobody think anything of me. The others grew up, minister of this, secretary of this, owner of banks like this. Everybody was big. I just was a soccer player. But how blessed, out of the blue, the Lord brought us here. And put in my heart only to do one thing, like my grandmother said, to tell the Americans that God is real. The life is more simple than America. That the power of life is not the government, it's God. That the peace of life is not riches, but it's God. Have peace with God is what you need. And that there is one who can bring you there, Jesus Christ our Lord. That Jewish boy, my grandmother in Arab used to say, that Jewish boy is good, Gabriel. And it is. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you taught us how to pray through the life of Paul. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Israel. Thank you for the virtues that come through prayer. And thank you for assisting us to pray so that everybody qualified to pray. Now, Father, we pray that we learn the lesson, whether in public or private. We need to learn to pray and pray with victory in our mind so that you be honored. Help us to have a humble heart, always respecting your will, knowing that you will answer. We will keep on praying until we get the answer. Not in the way we wanted, perhaps, but we will get an answer from you. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful to our life. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Until I see his face. great salvation, so rich and rich.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? I think we have a very warm and beautiful thank you for the music. It was so beautiful. We invite you to stay for our luncheon. And so there is plenty of food all the time. There is Filipino food, Korean.